As a matter of fact, you can look at the person next to you and say, you're different. Boy, doesn't that hold just a bunch of context? Like saying that, you're different. Well, you know what? Sometimes when we feel different, it ends up affecting us. And let me explain some of the things that are happening right now in our world is because of this. My mind is still in Spanish. Back up. Right now, in our world, we have this thing that's called gender dysphoria. And this is, I'm confused, I feel different. When the young person enters into puberty, all of the hormones and things that start taking place in their lives, their cultural experiences, what their friends say, start to influence them, and all of a sudden they don't feel normal. They don't feel like they fit in. Well, this is a lie that begins to permeate because they don't feel like they fit in. They should jump and change bodies. I don't feel like I fit in this body, they say. And this is a lie that takes place in the culture around us, around the world. Now, not only is this lie taking place in our culture outside of the church, in another way, another shape, because not so much inside of the church do we have gender dysphoria, especially talking about the Christian church. There are some churches who say they're Christian churches that suffer with this because they don't understand what's going on. They don't understand the plan of God in their lives. But a real Christian church doesn't struggle with this. But we do have still struggles in a sense with the same idea. And that's in the fact that in a lot of churches, you can go in and the church is a body. And Paul talks about that. And we're going to get to that in just a moment. The church is a body. And there are times when we don't feel like we fit in. And oftentimes that's because we have these mental states in which we label certain things as spiritual and certain things as not so spiritual. Certain things as important in the church. And if you really wanted to impress people, notice our motivation. If you really want to make sure that you feel good about yourself, then you're going to be one of these particular people. Well, this is a form of dysphoria that is happening in the church because what happens is it ends up immobilizing the church because not all of the parts are functioning. We need to understand what Paul means when he begins to label the church as a body. And so we're going to go into 1 Corinthians 12. We were reading that this last week. And in verse 4 to 6, it says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Notice what he's saying here. He's talking about the gift of God being different. If you've ever felt different, you're just not like the other person. Well, that's because you were created in a different way. And it says, there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. So let me give you an example here. And I was talking to my mom this last week, and she highlighted the life of my father, who's now with the Lord. And when she went to get married or was planning her life out as a child, she decided very early that she was going to marry a missionary. Well, my dad was a mechanic. They both start with M, right? My dad was a mechanic. And she was talking to me how God was revealing to her my dad's ministry. And she began to say, you know, Dad owned a business for this many years, and there was never a time that he charged any pastor labor or parts that came in at his shop. And this was his ministry. And he would help the people in the church. And this was his ministry. But sometimes we perceive certain ministries as being elevated or more spiritual than other ministries. And this is what Paul is talking about. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. And so there's times when we have dysphoria that says, you know, if I am this position in the church, if I only do this, my ministry, for example, one will say, is hospitality. I'll make food when somebody is sick, and I'll take it over to them. But, you know, I'm just not like that prophet. We need to understand what God is saying. In order for the church to be a whole, all of its members need to understand who they are in Him and be able to exercise those gifts before everybody. Notice that the apostle here is using the word different. So if you feel different, he says, good, we're all different, because all of us have been given a different gift. According to the same Spirit, the same God, He wants the church to be able to flourish and move forward. But if the person who is actually involved in this ministry and has this gifting, this different thing, wants always to be the person over here, they're always going to feel like they're not fitting in and that they're not living up to their full potential, because everyone knows spiritual people do that. This is a dysphoria that's happening in a lot of churches. We may not understand that this is happening in our lives, but if we feel pressure or feel like we don't fit in, or perhaps you've been one of those people who like to sample other things and you keep jumping around because you just don't feel like you fit in 100% with the group that you're in and so forth, it means that perhaps we just haven't figured out God's plan for us, that we don't understand our position in the body. Paul is going to talk about that a little bit later. God's Spirit is what He wants to minister to each and every one of us, and in different ways. Now, I want you to notice something, that every one of us have different personalities. We all act differently. How many know that one person doesn't have the same characteristics 100% as the next person? If we were to take out and get a sheet of paper with an ink pad out here, and just for an example, look at the thumbprints of everybody here, you're going to notice that some thumbprints are wider, some thumbprints have this squiggle and other squiggle, and there's none going to be the same. Right? All of our personalities are different. Last night, we were at an event that was in Spanish, and so you didn't know about it. It was a sectional event, and eight churches in our area got together, and we worshiped the Lord together. And since it was in Tlajomulco, I drove my car and had some people with us. And as we were coming back, we had this conversation. And suddenly, in the middle of the conversation, and you'll understand why the statement was made, because you know me, the person sitting behind says, Pastor, your ministry is one of joking, right? And I said, that's a sub-ministry. My main ministry is bullying. And we went on. And not everybody can be a bully like I can. I have a special technique of being able to say things to people and so forth. Others aren't quite, because we all have different personalities, right? And we all fit into a different category. For example, when I was growing up, I remember this minister, because God had a call on my life already. When I was 9, I already knew I was going to be a minister. And so I would watch the pastor, and the pastor would get up. Brothers and sisters, it's very important that we, he talked like that. He was very serious. And you know, I was never going to fit into that mold. I was never going to fit into that mold, because that's not who I am. And we have to understand that God creates us who we are with a purpose to be fulfilled in the body, to be able to minister, because we want God's perfect will. You may be a person that sees things as black and white. You know what? The prophets are going to love you, but the artists aren't. You know, you take a kid that is there learning in kindergarten with all the rest, and they spend a lot of time finger painting or coloring with crayons. And if there are only two crayons that they're using, well, actually, they only need one. The page comes out in white, and they use black. The artist next to him that I have a grandson that is an artist. I mean, he will be very specific on what color he needs to put here, whereas because I don't see colors, it doesn't mean that much to me. you know, as long as it's a shade there, it'll work. No. It's got to be, and it's just got to be perfect, and mixing colors and all this kind of stuff, because he has a different personality, a different way of thinking about things. And, you know, in our church, we have to have different people like that. When you have one person who has an incredible ability to sing off key, it's a good thing that you don't have him on the platform when it's time to lead in worship, and you have somebody with great giftings in singing. So God enables us to see other people, how they fit into the body. Let's look for a moment at some of the people that were influencing one person's life. Now, I want to make some preliminary statements, because we're going to look at some case studies of people who were different in the Old Testament, all right? And what we need to understand is this: God's plan for all mankind is the same. Do you know what that plan is? That all should repent and come to know him. He wants a relationship with every single one of us, all right? So when we go to the Old Testament, we're going to look at the life of one person, and as subsequent, we're going to look at the lives of three other people who had impact on that one individual. And who we're going to be looking at in the Old Testament is King Ahab. Now, we are very clear who King Ahab was. The Bible makes it very clear who this guy is. It says in 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse 30, Ahab, son of Omri, did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. So if you were to take out the big box of evil, wicked people, Ahab rose to the top, all right? So with that information, we can quickly judge this guy is evil. And as a result, we can judge him and determine that he should be executed, he should suffer, he should all of these things, all right? We immediately can come to that conclusion. But again, what is God's plan? God's plan is that all should repent and know him. And so as a result, God brings different members, different people into the life of King Ahab. And so we're going to look at the different people that God uses. First person that we're going to mention is the prophet Elijah. Elijah. Now, because God loves Ahab, he sends a prophet, and in the very beginning, Elijah shows up out of nowhere and simply states, there's not going to be any rain. And then he runs. Right? That's the story. 1 Kings chapter 17. So he runs, and Ahab has heard, God is looking at you. God is seeing what you're doing, and he's not pleased. Well, correct. That's good for Ahab to hear that information. And so what is the relationship that Ahab ends up having with Elijah? Well, we can find it in the next chapter in 1 Kings 18. In verse 16 and following, it says, so Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. When he saw Elijah, he said to him, is that you, you troubler of Israel? So what's the perspective or the relationship that Ahab has with Elijah? Well, you say, that's correct. Elijah is the man of God, and Ahab is the wicked one. And so as a result, we can see the relationship forming. Matter of fact, a few chapters later, in chapter 21, also of 1 Kings, in verse 20, it says, Ahab said to Elijah, so you have found me, my enemy. So what's the relationship? It's an enemy. That's the relationship. I have found you, he answered, because you have sold yourself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord. So here is Elijah's personality. He is prophet. He sees it as black and white. You are the most wicked person, and so therefore, I am your enemy. And that's his position, right? And he doesn't decline it. He doesn't declare that that's not the case. But I ask you the question, do you think that God wants to be his enemy? No. No. Because God wants him to repent. He's sending this very righteous person, this person who's filled with the Spirit, this person, Elijah, Now, notice Elijah is known as the prophet of power. He's only found in 6 chapters, all right? And all of the things you know about him are there in those 6 chapters. And he's there calling fire down from heaven, going to heaven in a whirlwind. All of these things, he is there. And so everyone says, wow, Elijah, Elijah. But Elijah has a personality. And as a result of his personality and the way that he is, God says, all right, you are my chosen instrument. I want you to go and talk to King Ahab, and you tell him this, you confront him here, and as a result, the relationship quickly materializes as enemies. Enemies. Well, that's who Elijah was to Ahab. But again, God wants Ahab to repent. And so right smack dab in the middle of the chapters that we just read, we have another chapter in 1 Kings chapter 20. Now it says in verse 13, meanwhile, a prophet came to Ahab, king of Israel, and announced. Now it's interesting because if you notice here, it doesn't say a name. Every one of us would naturally assume, found within the context of the life of Elijah, this should be Elijah, right? But it's not. It's an unnamed prophet. He says simply, meanwhile, a prophet came to Ahab, king of Israel, and announced, this is what the Lord says. Do you see this vast army? I will give it into your hand today, and then you will know that I am the Lord. You see what God's doing? Now he has a different person who doesn't have the enemy relationship, and he sends him to Ahab, and he says, I want you to do this so that you will know that I am the Lord. I want you to leave your false gods, and I want you to know me. I want you to be in relationship with me. And so Ahab asks this prophet, but who will do this? Asked Ahab. The prophet replied, this is what the Lord says. The junior officers under provincial commanders will do it. And who will start the battle? And notice what he says. He answered, the prophet answered, you will. And in fact, Ahab goes out, starts the battle with the cadets, and wins the battle by word of the Lord. Here is the most wicked king winning the battle by word of the Lord. What's God doing? God wants Ahab to know him. That's the plan. But in order for that to happen, why didn't he send Elijah? Could you imagine Elijah showing up? And God tells him, all right, Elijah, I want you to show up and you tell Ahab, I'm going to give him a great victory by his hand. Say what? That's what Elijah would have responded to God with. Right? You know, excuse me. What'd you say, God? No, he's wicked. He's evil. Isn't that how we are sometimes? And so God has to have another element of the body show up with this person has a different relationship with Ahab, a different attitude, a different personality. And let me tell you this emphatically, the two of those that we've already talked about, Elijah and this unnamed prophet, both of them know the Lord. Both of them serve the Lord. And you know what would have happened if those two were in the same church today? Elijah would have looked down, perhaps, on the unnamed prophet. You know that Ahab is a wicked person. I can't believe that you went to his house and you were friendly with him. Isn't that how it sometimes happens in our churches today? And we end up having some people perceive themselves as more spiritual than other individuals who are in fact doing exactly what God is telling them to do. Because the word of the Lord came to the prophet, right? That's what it says. You know, another person that was in the life of King Ahab was King Jehoshaphat. Now, Jehoshaphat, if you look at the scriptures, was a righteous king. He loved the Lord. He served the Lord served the Lord according to the way that his father David did. So he loved the Lord. Now, this is interesting to me. How is it that a king who, first of all, these two should be mortal enemies because it's a divided kingdom. They've been at war for all of these years. But all of a sudden, here we have the most wicked king to have shown up in Israel and the king in Judah who loves the Lord with all of his heart. They become friends. Now, there are people in church today who are friends with evil people. Oh, my goodness. And what the really spiritual people in churches? Say, you know, if they were really good believers like me, they wouldn't end up being friends with that person. They would see him for what he is. How could he be friends after this many experiences with this evil person? Isn't that what happens sometimes? And because that person suddenly will feel, well, I'm not really wanted here. I'm looked at as not quite as spiritual. I'm not spiritual enough to be in that church because that church only has super spiritual people. And since I have, isn't that what happens sometimes? And it creates this dysphoria. But Jehoshaphat, according to Scripture, was friends with Ahab. And in one occasion, he was there visiting Ahab. And let me read for you the conversation that takes place. It says in 1 Kings 22, verse 4. So he asked Jehoshaphat, this is King Ahab asking Jehoshaphat, will you go with me to fight against Ramoth-Gilead? Are you willing to put your soldiers alongside my soldiers and we go to battle together? Here's the response. Jehoshaphat replied to the king of Israel, I am as you are. My people as your people. My horses as your horses. In other words, I'm with you lock, stock, and barrel. We're friends. But then what happens? Jehoshaphat loves the Lord. And it influences everything. You know what? That relationship was designed by God. How do I know that? Listen to the next phrase that Jehoshaphat says, but Jehoshaphat also said to the king of Israel, but first seek the counsel of the Lord. Now, I'm not going to put up the rest of the scriptures there, but what happens then is King Ahab calls in prophets, and all the prophets tell him, go, God's going to give you a great victory. And Jehoshaphat, because he loves the Lord, can immediately perceive something's not jiving. Something's not right. And so Jehoshaphat looks Ahab, his friend, square in the eyes. And he says, isn't there a prophet of God here? Isn't there somebody that we can consult, the Lord? And King Ahab says, yeah, there's one other guy. But you know what? We don't get along well. I don't like him. And Jehoshaphat says, don't say that. Call him in. I want to hear what he has to say. And a long story that takes place there. But eventually, the prophet shows up and tells Ahab that he's going to die in that battle today. Ahab doesn't like the information, puts him in prison. But I ask the question, why did Jehoshaphat insist, as his friend, to hear from God? Wasn't it because God was saying to King Ahab, you have one last chance to repent? Wasn't it because Ahab was to hear the voice of God one last time? Because, again, God's plan is that none should perish and that all should come to repentance. Ahab, once again, being the evil man that he was, rejected the plan of God. But here we have the example of three individuals in the life of Ahab that God had to bring. They were all righteous individuals, according to Scripture. All of them perfectly functioning in their giftings and fulfilling what God was telling them to do, and probably none of them would have agreed with each other. Isn't that amazing? And that's what happens in church today. We have a lot of people who don't understand what's going on. They may not get along with the other person because, after all, how could they think like that? That's just wrong. But it's not just wrong. God creates us for different services. God creates us to accomplish His will because His plan is that none should perish and that all would come to repentance. This is what Paul was really trying to say. If we were to go then to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 again, and now we're in verse 12, it says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. We are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles. Now, I want you to tell you something. The Jews and the Gentiles are going to have a different background. They're going to think differently and do things differently. Goes on, and he says, slave or free. Now, think about that. What mentality is a slave going to have? You're not going to find a lot of people who grew up third-generation slave, if you were to go back before the emancipation, third-generation slave that had the mentality of an entrepreneur. Not going to find it because their situation in life formed the way that they think and who they are. And so Paul says, we are all baptized by one Spirit as so to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. All of these different people with the way that they think, the personalities, all of these things, when they've been redeemed by Jesus. Now, I'm not giving permission for people to accept sin in their life and just say, oh, now that's because I'm just different. God has this special deal with me. No, sin is sin. We're not talking about sin. We're talking about personalities. We're talking about the way that we think and who we are, and even after we have been transformed by the renewing of our mind. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. But if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, there, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. You know, now, we are all different. And you said that to the person next to you just a few moments ago. And that's a good thing. Because God uses the combination of all of the parts of the body to be able to do what He wants it to be and what the body needs to do. Now, sometimes we just don't feel like we fit in. If you're a hand, you're never going to feel at home in a sock. It's just not going to be there. Now, some of you noticed that about 6 months ago, I stopped wearing glasses, right? And it's not because God miraculously healed my eyes, because I'm wearing contacts, all right? Now, the thing with people who've worn contacts know this, but if you've not worn contacts, let me explain to you. You have to take out your contacts. Every night, my contacts come out. I have to wash them. I put them into a solution, and they soak there until the next morning when I put them back in. Without that, they would end up having a problem. My eye would end up being infected and so forth. That's the deal. But when I take my contact out of my eye, it's amazing, even though it fits and contours perfectly to my eye, when I'm washing it with my finger, it doesn't contour so great. Why? Because the contact was made for the eye and not for the finger. Do you understand what I'm saying? And here's the problem. Many people want to insist on being the eye, and they just say, but it just doesn't fit. Well, it's not going to. We need to accept who we are. And not fitting in has less to do with us being in the wrong place, but not understanding who we are in him and not fulfilling. Now, if that prophet that God sent to King Ahab to tell him that he's going to get a great victory had the same attitude and he said, no, I just want to be like Elijah. Everyone knew Elijah. No, I'm going to be like Elijah. Well, would he have been able to accomplish what God wanted him to accomplish? No. No. And this is what happens in lives today. And we read on even more in 1 Corinthians 12, in verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers. And so what we have is the list of priorities. The most important people are the prophets, or the apostles rather. The second most important people are prophets. No, that's not how it is, my friends. He's just creating a list, not saying that this is more important than the other, but somehow in our minds, we think of certain positions as being more important, more spiritual. And I'm going to feel closer to God if I were to do this, if I were to be the one who's the prophet, if I were to be the one who is the apostle, if I were to be the one. And honestly, we have different services. Some say, oh, if I were to be the one who got up and teach, he goes on and he says, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping. Now, look at these two, the teachers and the helping. Do you ever feel like the one who's up teaching must be more spiritual than you are when you say, oh, I can help with that? You say, oh, all I did was help. No, you fulfilled what God was calling you to fulfill. You know, I am no more spiritual because I say, we're going to pray for Pastor Isaiah Torres and we're going to receive an offering. Then you, when you, because God speaks to your heart and you say, God, use me, and you deposit an offering, these are what we're talking about. We need to stop thinking that that's a more spiritual thing than the other. Obedience to God is the most spiritual thing. And you're not in obedience to God if always you're looking for something that you're not. We are in obedience to God when we obey and we do what God has actually created us to be and to do, of guidance and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Yes. And the obvious answer, because it's a rhetorical question, is no. Nor should everyone be trying to be apostle. Are all prophets? No. Nor should everyone be saying, oh, I'm supposed to be. I'm going to try to fit into the mold of an apostle or a prophet. Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? This is what is happening here. That this dysphoria that takes place in the church ends up as a design of the devil to destroy the church, so that the body can't fully do what it's called to do. And everyone wants to be the mouth. Everyone wants to be this person. When the church is called to go, don't you think if the church is called to go, we should have some feet? Right? No, I'm only a hand. I'm not going to do that. But if you're called to be a foot, you know, you're going to feel the most comfortable in the sock and shoe. That's where you're going to be. And then you're going to go through your life and you're going to say, oh, man, it's so good to be in the position that God has called me to be. And you're in a church and you say, not many people are like me. Well, how many feet do you have? You say, oh, but there's more like me. Maybe I'm not a foot. Well, maybe you're a toe then. You know, there's 10 of those. Start to think about it. If we always want to be like the other person, we perceive the other person as more spiritual, we've missed the point of what Paul is trying to say here. And more importantly, we've missed the point of how God wants to bring the world to recognize he loves them and is calling them to repentance. Because all of the parts of the body function for that same reason. Let's learn to thrive in the place that God has placed us in, with our different personalities, our different styles. The church today needs to be moving forward, and the only way we can move forward is when every member takes on the responsibility that is theirs. God can use us all, with all of our different quirks and personalities, just the way we are. He can use me as a person who's constantly joking. He can use you if you're the serious person. He can use you if you're the one that says, oh, but we need to have that prayer meeting at the church. I love praying for 5 hours. And he can use you if you say, do you have anybody out there that needs a ride on Sunday? I feel like I could help with giving somebody a ride and transportation. All of these things are needed, right? To see the church grow and flourish the way that God has designed us to thrive. Because we were created to be his servants. Not the servants of the people who think we need to impress or what we would feel more important. We are called to fulfill God's plan so that the world can see him. Bow your heads with me, if you will. Lord, we thank you for speaking to our hearts and for creating us just the way we needed to be created, to fulfill the plan that you have. What a joy it is when we fully embrace who we are in you. Lord, we're not embracing sinful behavior, and we're not embracing false teachings. We're simply saying who we are in you, we're going to embrace it, and we're going to fulfill our part in that body of Christ. We are in you. Your spirit speaks through us, whether you speak through us as the mouth or you speak through us as the one who's giving acts of service or as being an administrator or as being whatever the position may be, Lord, that we find ourselves in. Lord, you are the one being glorified, and we find the greatest joy in simply being who you created us to be. Lord, let the evangelists thrive as they bring evangelism. Let them not feel so embarrassed when the person they evangelized, they told about you, don't stay in the church because the person who was supposed to be the discipler hadn't done their job. They think, maybe I didn't do a good job as an evangelist. Lord, let us be fulfilled in the job that we have and fully embrace the one that you're assigning us to. Let the evangelists do their work, Lord. Let those who disciple do their work, Lord. Let us draw closer to you. Bless the teachers as they teach us and move us forward in you. Bless those who serve, who give, who are the feet of the church to move us forward. Lord, bless us all so that we would be able to be a church that's fully functioning in your kingdom. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful, blessed week. We'll see you on Wednesday.